in the hope of giving you something to be thankful for, this is only going to be a couple minutes, not the 30 you get. Unless you want me to go 30, I can make so. 5 we can shoot for. We'll make that the New Year's resolution, okay? We're going to try for 45. All the snowbirds are saying we're in Arizona. So in Luke 17, there's a passage in there where it talks about Jesus traveling along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And he was going, as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy meet him. And they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Walking up, screams of these men who have this serious skin condition that's called, the present day translators call, leprosy. And surely they must have thought, heal the lame and raise the dead. He had the power to help them too. They were already outcasts and had nothing to lose. So they raised their voices in desperate hope. And when he saw them, he said simply, "Go show yourselves to the priests." He didn't do anything else. He simply tells them to go see the priests. The priests at that time were the first century equivalent or referees to determine whether a healing had actually taken place. Any cure, according to the book of Leviticus, would need this seal of approval from the priest, so that the formerly unclean could be restored to the community. The question is, will they go? I mean, sure. Matthew Henry said this was a trial of their obedience. How would they respond to the Lord, this ambiguous command from Jesus? But something in the encouraged them to believe that they had met not. And as they went, they were cleansed. Notice the progression here. Obedience precedes the healing. One of them, when he saw he was healed, after seeing the priest, came back, praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. This man is being a Samaritan. Until this point, those 10 lepers had all acted in concert. They had lived together. They had cried together. They had gone off together. They had been cleansed together. Now, however, this one individual has peeled off out of the formation and he heads for Jesus. Whatever has happened, the man knows that he's blessed. And the blessing requires a response. First he sees, and then he turns and he praises. And then with the Samaritan still humbly at Jesus' feet, Jesus asked 3 very pointed questions, which cast a shadow over this whole celebration. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Samaritans weren't even considered, in some ways, not even fully human. And this passage has kind of bothered me every time I've gone back and read it. Because at first blush, it seems to reflect this need for praise and recognition on Jesus' part. Why does he need to be thanked? He already had rewarded their obedience. He wanted something more, though. He sought their gratitude. Richard Emmett said, "Gratitude is a knowing awareness that we are the recipients of goodness." And Jesus is saying, didn't these 9 men know what God had done for them? The 9 who did not give thanks were not only rude, but they were just ignorant, misaligned with the truth of the universe. We, you and I, are the recipients, not the creators of goodness. In acknowledging that simple truth, we must come to the conclusion that God is the source of all good. Without that understanding, we don't even have a definition of what good is. Our acknowledgement and understanding of this simple truth is what separates the believer from everyone else. Last week I said that we shouldn't see ourselves as, and others shouldn't see us as special or unique. But as Christians, we should see ourselves as different, changed, transformed into what we could never create on our own. It is because of this transformation that we gather here today. Each and every day we are blessed by God. Some of these blessings are great and obvious and glorious, and some days they're real simple and they seem insignificant in the grand scheme of things. It is our acknowledgement of God's blessing that we give in return for what He has given us. We don't give for recognition or praise or gain. And if that's the tactic here, then you're going to be disappointed. We give because we are thankful for what God has given us, and we want others to know this same joy. Romans 11, 35 and 36 asks a simple question. Can we repay God for what He has done for us? The answer is no, mostly because you can't put a price on our salvation. Instead, what we can do is glorify Him through our actions, our speech, our love for each other, and for those outside of the church. John Piper wrote a few years ago, and I'll just close with this, God is never more glorified than when we are completely satisfied in Him and demonstrate that satisfaction to the world. Would you pray with me? Father, so often, like those other nine lepers, we become accustomed to the things we have in this life. We even become accustomed to Your blessing in our lives, though we don't take notice of it and even fail to acknowledge it sometimes. By investing ourselves in the lives of others, we're more attuned to those blessings in our lives. We see the heartbreak and the trials that others go through, and we look around and we see ours as less, and we're grateful for that. And it should create in us a need, a desire to share Your goodness, Your good news with others. Help us to be people who do lay up treasure in heaven and don't worry about the material things in this world, but about reaching into others' lives and making contact with them and helping to transform their lives through Your goodness in their lives. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.